Well, if you don't have faith, right? Jesus says you have to have faith. If you don't, believe it, then you're not going to see it answered. That's true. What else? Why else do we not? We'll talk about the amiss thing in a minute because that's a really good point. Faith is important. Why else do we not see our prayers answered? We don't ask. Yeah. You have not because you ask not. You just don't ask. You don't pray for it. You're not gonna see it answers if you don't ask. You're not gonna see God at work. Remember this one statement that we had last week was prayer is a physical experience. Well, answered prayer is the physical reality of the spiritual truth. In other words, we have this relationship with God, and He wants to demonstrate it to us in real ways, in physical ways that we can see, feel, and experience. It's how we, through prayer and through answered prayer, we experience the reality of the relationship we have with God. One of the reasons people begin to doubt is because they're not praying and they're not seeing God actively answering their prayers. But why else? So these are good things. Why else do we not see our prayers answered? Anybody? Well, here's one. What's that? We're impatient, so we're not willing to wait long enough and keep praying. But there's another one, and that I'll give you this, is sometimes we don't see prayers answered because we don't pray specifically enough. What do I mean by that? What do I mean we don't pray specifically enough sometimes? Yeah. Dear Lord, work on all the people's heart that some people will get saved. Or God, bless our country and bless our land. Now, I'm not saying those are worthless prayers. They can be part of our prayer life. But if you say, Lord, please bless all the people in the church. Well, how will you know that your prayers are answered? What's a specific prayer in that regard? What would be a more specific way to pray? Yeah. Okay. That's not very specific, though. Right? I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad prayer. That's a good prayer. What I'm saying is sometimes we don't experience the power and we don't see the reality because we only pray generally. Don't misunderstand me. That prayer is important. God, increase our faith, increase our strength. But sometimes we need to pray specifically. Somebody help me here. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. You're praying specifically. There are people coming. We pray for them. Or you can pray for specific people to come to know the Lord. Now, what else? You can pray for needs that you know of, right? So we pray. So you pray for if you know somebody in the church has a particular need, you pray specifically to that end. Sometimes I think we're a little afraid to do that. Maybe not everybody, but maybe why might we be sometimes a little afraid to do that? Exactly. We might not have the faith that you talked about before. Whereas if I just pray, God, you know, bless this person in whatever way you see fit. That's very general. But as we come to the Lord in prayer, and if somebody has a specific need, of course we pray. We have to pray according to the will of God, but we are to pray specifically and cast our cares on the Lord. And you'll see Him answer those prayers. Now that's going to bring us to this passage. Look at the James 4 passage that's on the bottom of your handout. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. I'm going to give you an illustration for this, okay? How many of you would like $1,000? Okay? Okay, you didn't raise your hand? Too bad, I was going to give you one today. That's my hand-raising manipulation for the day, all right? So, everybody would like it. If I said, hey, would you like $1,000? Sure, here's $1,000. Hey, if you want $1,000, maybe you should what? What are we talking about today? Maybe you should pray for it. If you want $1,000, maybe you should pray for it. I remember a time in my life, this was several years ago. I'll give you another answered prayer from this week that was specific. But I remember a time in my life several years ago, I needed about $1,000 to get caught up on some stuff. Anybody been there before? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. I needed $1,000. And so I began to pray. But I thought about this truth here, right? What's the problem? It says, ye have not because ye ask not. Okay, so does that mean God is the genie in the bottle? I want $1,000, so I'm going to pray specifically. Pastor Ethan said, pray specifically if you want to see prayers answered. So, God, give me $1,000. Please give me $1,000. Well, that would reduce God to like the genie in the bottle, right? Where we say, grant me my wish. I did the formula, at knock and it shall be opened unto you. Give me $1,000. Well, according to James 4, what would be the problem with that prayer? Yep. Well, but so everybody look at the James passage here. That's true. But everybody look at the James problem. What's the other reason that I don't have my prayers answered? I'm not praying for it right. In what way, somebody? It says it right there in James. Yeah, say that a little louder. It's for me. What does it say at the end of the verse? The other reason is you ask amiss. That's what Brother Atherton said. You ask amiss. In other words, you're not asking for the right reason. You don't have the right motivation. Your desire for that $1,000 is what? Maybe because you want it for yourself and your plans and your goals. So I needed $1,000. I needed the Lord to provide that. But I said, Lord, but I wanted to put God to the test, not in an ultimatum kind of way, but I wanted to pray specifically for something and see Him answer my prayer. So I said, Lord, I need $1,000. I'm going to pray for $1,000, but Lord, if you give me that $1,000, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it back to you. And I prayed that. You give me that $1,000, and I will give it back to you. So I prayed. I'm not going to say I prayed every single day, but a few times I said, Lord, you know what we need? If you give me that $1,000, I'm going to give it to you. And again, this happened several years ago. I'm not here to toot my horn. I just want to give you a testimony, okay? So I prayed for the $1,000, didn't tell anybody about it that I needed it, didn't tell anyone. Well, completely unrelated, it could have been weeks, it could have been a month later, in the mailbox from a distant family member was a check that I had no idea that they randomly decided to send. A family member that lived far away, they sent me a check for how much? $1,000. They sent the check for $1,000. Now, in that moment, I had to make a decision, right? I could either pay off everything I needed to pay off at that moment, but wait a minute, God had answered my prayer. He answered my prayer because I didn't pray for $1,000 to pay my bill. I prayed for $1,000 to what? Give. So God didn't answer the prayer to, God didn't answer my prayer for my bills, because that wasn't what this prayer was about. I specifically prayed, God, you give me $1,000 to give. At the very same time, I had a friend that was a roommate of mine in college, and he was planting a church in Oregon. And the church still is there today. He doesn't pastor anymore, but he established that church. He was getting ready to start the church. I deposited that $1,000, and I wrote a check to that church in Oregon, and I sent that in the mail. And do you know what? I don't know how it happened, but at some point I paid all those other bills too. Was there another $1,000 check that came in the mail? No, there wasn't, but I don't remember exactly how it happened, but all the other stuff got taken care of as well. Why? If you and I will learn to pray according to the will of God, we'll see Him do things that are unmistakably the hand of God in our lives. But the problem is we want to use prayer as a tool for us, right? We want to say, God, you give me this. God, you give me that. Now, does God want to bless us? Of course He does. But He'd far rather bless us spiritually than just physically. So, if we pray according to the will of God, then the answers are going to be yes, 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 and we're going to see things. So what we need to do is, what Jesus is doing is He's inviting us into that kind of prayer. Nothing wrong with saying, God, please bless all the people. God, bless all the church. Give us greater faith. Those are spiritual prayers that we should pray. But what are you asking God to do specifically in your life? What are you asking God to do specifically in our church that you know is the will of God? So for instance, the other day, I prayed, Lord, I hadn't been really strong in my personal witnessing to people. Anybody ever been there before where you used to be strong, you used to witness to people, and then all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm just not sharing the gospel with people personally. So I said, God, give me boldness and opportunities to share the gospel. How many of you need that? God, give me boldness and give me opportunities to share the gospel. Is that praying according to the will of God? I mean, 100%. There's no doubt. Are there some things we pray for and we're like, God, I'm not sure this is your will, but this is the desire of my heart, so I'm praying for it, but if it's not you, you know what I'm talking about? There's prayers like that. But then there's things you can pray that you know. I mean, there's no doubt that it's God's will. So, Lord, give me boldness and give me opportunity. And I've done this so many times throughout the years where, and you know what happened? That very day, or the next day, there's somebody doing my, cleaning my oil furnace at my house. I have an opportunity to share the gospel with him, to say something to him. The next day after that, that was on Thursday. Then on Friday, I'm at work. Somebody I talk to all the time. I punch out at the end of the day. I'm getting ready to go home. He comes in the office. We just start talking about things. Guess what I get to do? Share the gospel with that person. That's God answering prayers. If you pray, I tell you this, if you pray, God, give me the finances to give to missions, guess what? I guarantee you that he will answer that prayer request. I guarantee. If you do it and it doesn't work, you come and you tell me. If you say, God, I'd really like to be able to give, you know, this amount that I feel on your, that I feel you're impressing this, and we have to be sensitive to his leading. But God, I really feel that I want to be able to have a part. So God, help me. Show me where I can find that $50 to give. He'll answer that prayer. Guaranteed. Sometimes we're afraid, though, because we know he'll find ways to answer it that we might be a little uncomfortable with. But the awesome thing about that is that's when we get to experience God actively working in our lives. Right? So, if Christianity is just coming to church, learning stuff, but if we never actually experience God and we never experience his working in our lives, then it's just like going to a class. So let's talk about a couple of things here. So prayer is about, and what we learn in the Lord's Prayer here that he gives us is that prayer is about me conforming to God's will, not convincing God to do my will. So turn over in your handout and look on the back. I want to give you a couple of principles here about God's desire for us. Look at two passages here. Psalm 37, 3 through 5. Many of you probably have this memorized, so you know this. These are wonderful verses. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look at verse number 4. I love verse number 4. Ready? Let's read that one out loud together. Begin. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What is the principle of preparation of the heart in this passage here? What is this passage teaching us about the preparation of our hearts and God meeting our desires? Trust. What else? Delight, delighting, committing to him, and then he gives you the desires of your heart. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. Now, Matthew 6:33, you'll see this is a similar concept in the New Testament. But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The principle is there as well in that passage. Verse number 4 of Psalm 37 is really the key here. The end of the verse is where we usually want to be, right? And he shall give thee, the end of verse number 4, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, right? I have these desires. God, would you just, you give me the desires of my heart. I want the desires of my heart. But he says, in order for that to happen, what do you have to do first? Trust in him. But then in verse number 4, there's something really important. What is it? Delight. Delight thyself also in him. What does that mean? It means when you delight in something, that means that which brings you the most joy, that which brings you the most happiness in life, that which is the most satisfying to you, you just love it. You just can't get enough of it. Guess what? What are linked together? Whatever you delight in is what you're going to... Did you say it? It's in the verse. Whatever you delight in is what you're going to what? Look, desire. Whatever you delight in is what you're going to desire. So you could also think of the verse this way. This isn't literally what it means, but this is the application. If you start to delight in the Lord, He will give you desires. In other words, those desires, that you will have new desires. You will want new things. So we begin by saying, I make God my chief delight. God is my chief enjoyment. I want to seek after God. And then He gives me the desires of my heart. Why? Because if I'm delighting in Him, then I desire the things that He desires. And I'm going to see prayers answered. But look, especially, and so all of us, okay, we can go through life. What are the things that you desire? What are the things that you want? Is it money? Is it recreation? Is it toys? Is it, what is it? Those things, if you delight in those, you'll never see prayers answered. Okay, oh well, it's all right. You know, I don't need to see all those prayers answered. I'll just live this way. Watch out, because what will happen, especially you guys, listen to me now, because this is an important lesson to learn when you're real young, when you're starting out in life. And it's for all of us, but when you're young, if you can establish this thought pattern in your heart and mind, it'll set you on a straight course. And that is that you might say, our mindset tempts us to say, well, whatever. So I don't see all those prayers answered, but I'm having fun. I'm having a good life. I do this, I do that. The danger with that is you will never experience God in His power. And unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't experience the power of God. And so then Christianity just becomes this thing that we do. It's just book knowledge. It's just information. But if we'll let go of those desires and begin to desire the Lord, it'll open a door in our life of experience, of power, of purpose, of meaning. And you start to see God answer prayers, your life will take on such greater meaning, and you'll literally experience God. You miss out on all of that, and what happens is you drift further and further and further away. Probably didn't articulate that as well as I would have liked to, but just think about it. Meditate on that. I think one of the biggest reasons that Christianity is struggling in the West is that we don't experience the power of God. Our kids don't grow up seeing God like on display in our lives. They learn a lot of information about Him, they color about Him, and they watch videos about Him, but they don't actually see God doing anything in our lives. Because it can't just be knowledge, it has to be experience, and that's what prayer is about. So, but then in order to pray, the heart has to be prepared, right? That's what Jesus is teaching us. So I gave you this. I learned this when I was a kid. Probably my dad taught it to me and somebody taught it to him. But for those of you that are maybe young in your prayer life, and I'm going to talk a little bit about specifically the Lord's Prayer, but the simple acronym there, PRAY, P-R-A-Y, it's always helped me if I need to say, you know what, do I have the right heart in prayer? Now you can reverse this, you can change it around, but this is I'm just going to say it's a helpful bit of a formula to examine our heart. And when you go to prayer, if you think about the P, you think about praise. I'm going to give them all to you really quick, and then we'll talk about them really briefly. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. You'll see these components in the Lord's Prayer. The order isn't always important, but it can be. Pray, praise, repent, ask, yield. Yield. Praise, repent, ask, yield. These are helpful components in prayer, and if you'll come to your prayer time with this mindset, your heart will be prepared. How many times in the Psalms does the psalmist begin just by praising the Lord? Right? You open the Psalms and you just read it, and you read how he begins by just pouring out his praise and adoration for the Lord. Sometimes a helpful thing would be, and I haven't done this in a long time, but to go to the Psalms and actually pray through the Psalms, to put your voice in the voice of the psalmist and say, take Psalm 23, for instance. Say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then in your own words, pray that back to God. Yes, that'll prepare your heart. That's one of the reasons the Psalms are given to us. Even the Lord's Prayer, like we pick on people who say it repetitively. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be. Okay, that's true, that repetitive prayer. But there's nothing wrong with at times taking the scriptures and literally saying, God, I do want to pray this to you. I want to use your words and I want you to prepare my heart. There'd be nothing wrong with that. It'd be beneficial at times. So praise him. Begin with a time just to magnify God for who he is, what he's done, how mighty he is. Boy, that puts our problems in perspective, doesn't it? So if you're going to God with a problem, but you begin by extolling his majesty, it starts to prepare your heart. And then secondly would be the repentance. We're going to see that in the Lord's Prayer too. The repentance is, Lord, I'm not worthy. I've sinned. I've done wrong. Thank you that you hear me. Lord, show me areas where I've gone astray. I'll make them right in this prayer time. I'll make it right. And then obviously the asking. To pray, the word literally means to ask. It literally means ask. Pray, ask me, God says. And then yield. Lord, this is what I'm asking for, but I want to be sensitive and yielded and submissive that it's your will that's done. Your will that's done. Many of you have seen that before, that acrostic, pray. And for those that haven't, that's a helpful thing. And it's easy to remember. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. But let's talk just for the last 5 minutes that we have about what Jesus said here. He said, first of all, when you pray, and as he's showing us how to prepare our hearts in prayer, he says, pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. If you remember, this idea of Father, it talks about the relationship that God wants to have with us. I shared with you last week, it wasn't common, this wasn't the common mode of prayer for the Pharisees. They didn't begin, now they might have said, referred to God as the Father or a Father, but this personal relationship. What's amazing about it is the disciples watched Jesus pray. I was studying this, I think, if I remember correctly, all but one or two times, every time Jesus prayed, he began by saying, he's saying, Father, Father, addressing God personally as Father. What right do you and I have to address God as Father? What right do we have to do that? Well, the answer is we don't have the right to do that. There's only one person that by birth, but there's only one person that by nature has the right to address God as Father, and who is that? It's Jesus Christ. The only one that has the right to say, Father, you and I, we pray. All right, Dennis, would you pray for us? Father in heaven, we thank you, right? I mean, we do that. And sometimes, I'm not saying you do this, but sometimes we rush into that. And we don't think that God is, we're not worthy to be his children, but he has made a way. So what Jesus is doing is Jesus invites us into the relationship that he has. You know that song that we sing, As the Deer? Second verse of that song, you're my friend, and you are, do you know what the song says? And you are my brother. Romans chapter 8 teaches this, that Jesus, through his death, invites us into the family of God where we are given. Now, we're not equal in nature, but we are equal in standing and status with the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. So that we come before him through Jesus Christ with all the rights of Jesus. He says, you can pray, if you are my children, you can pray, our Father who art in heaven. So as our hearts are prepared, we realize that as we come to prayer, God desires, he's created us to know him. And then hallowed be thy name. That's the idea of worship, right? Holy, set apart, magnificent, is your name. Who can tell me what the word worship literally means? Does anybody know what the word worship means? Yeah, somebody said it, and I'll share it with you all, but if you don't know it, you should really write it down, because this is This will change the way you understand worship. It doesn't mean to sing or jump or dance. Worship literally means to bow down. That's the literal meaning of the word from which we get worship. It literally means to bow down. Now, part of our worship is our singing. Part of our worship is excitement, enthusiasm. But our heart is, if we're going to prepare our hearts and we want to delight ourselves in the Lord, we want to see the desires of our heart met, we want to see our prayers answered, we begin by recognizing, God, you desire a relationship with me. I'm so unworthy. God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to bow down before you. That's why it's helpful at times to not just stand and pray or sit and pray, but to bow down physically and to get low before God physically if you're able to, and to physically demonstrate who he is. Many times in the Bible, you would see as people would pray, they wouldn't kneel, but they would do even greater than that. And they would lay down on the ground completely with their face on the ground, and they would pray to God. Jesus says, it's a holy name. It's a hallowed name. That's why what a tragedy it is, especially if a Christian would take the Lord's name in vain. Right? The most awful thing. I mean, literally, probably one of the worst things you can do is, what's the worst thing I can do as a Christian? I don't know what the worst thing you can do. But what a terrible thing to just speak God's name as a curse word. I mean, it's a holy, magnificent name. He's called us into a relationship with him to be his children. And just to throw around the name of God or to throw around the name Jesus Christ, that's a holy name. Every time I hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain, it bothers me. I know they don't know God. They're away from God. They don't even understand what they're doing. But oh, what a tragedy. It's a holy, holy name. That's why careful in your prayers that we don't use Lord as a filler word, right? Have you ever heard that? Where someone will continually use the name of the Lord. And they'll say, well, I just pray, and they'll use his name. And then I ask you, and they'll use, it would be like if I was, if I was talking to somebody like Tony, and I said, and Tony, it's just glad, Tony, that you're here, Tony. And, you know, we're just so glad, Tony, that you came to church today. So, Tony, we have to be careful with that. That if we're using the name of God, that we're using it in the sense, it's a hallowed name. It's a precious name. So, as we prepare our hearts in prayer, God desires relationship with us. His name is holy. And then Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's that idea of yieldedness or submission. Right? That, Lord, as I pray, I want to pray for things, I want to ask you for things that are your will. I want to be concerned with your kingdom. I want to be concerned with your desires for my life. Give us day by day our daily bread. Dependence. I think one of the greatest prayers we can say to the Lord is simply, Lord, I need you. I need you. We need you. We need your presence. We need your spirit. We need your power. Lord, we need you. And demonstrate our dependence on him. He says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. I thought about repentance, which we already talked about, and gratitude. That we don't just, the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. But there's a difference between coming boldly and coming arrogantly into his place, or coming with sin and saying, and just barging in and saying, oh, you know, I can pray. God, I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy of this. Lord, help me. You've forgiven me of so much. Teach me to be a forgiving person. And then finally, in the last minute that we have, he says, but lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. An important part of our prayer, and this one wouldn't be, well, it can be specific at times in our lives. It can be both general and specific. But this speaks to our first priority and our desire in our relationship with the Lord, that he would make us holy. Lord, I know there's nothing I can do to make you love me more. You've accepted me because of Jesus. But God, I want the actions of my life to be pleasing in your sight. I want the way I behave to be holy, and I want it to belong to you. So God, deliver me lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil. Is that a concern, a prayer? Maybe there's a particular sin that you struggle with. Well, in that case, it would be specific. Lord, you know these thoughts are attacking. Lord, I don't want to think these thoughts. Deliver me from them. Keep the temptation away. Renew my mind. Because first and foremost, my desire is to be holy. See, we come to prayer and we focus on what we want, but what about what God wants in our lives? I want $1,000. God wants me to be holy. Right? I want this, but God wants to... I want this need met, but God wants to display His power in some other way in my life. If we'll think about the Lord's Prayer, how Jesus taught us to pray, then, and if we approach prayer, whether briefly or in an extended time, and just work through these ideas and this heart that God wants, it'll be really hard to ask on our lusts, right? I mean, really, if you'll take just a minute at the beginning of prayer, praise God for who He is, repent, yield yourself to Him, tell Him His name is holy, it's going to be really hard for you to be like, yeah, and I want that new car too. It just doesn't fit. Now, He may desire for you to have that car. You may need that to fulfill His will for your life. But you're not going to know that until you first yield yourself to Him and let Him prepare your heart in prayer. So, much for us all to think about. And I just know that if there's any hope for the church in America, if there's any hope for our church, for our lives, is if we get serious about what prayer is. That's why I love our Friday morning prayer, and it's grown just a little bit. We've got a little bit of an addition to it, and I'd love to have you come out and join us together as we pray. We try to apply some of these principles as we pray together as well. And I know many of you are strong in prayer. You pray for our church, and you pray for me, and you pray for my dad, and for the family of our church together. And it's appreciated. And what a privilege it is that God has given us. All right, I've said a lot about it, so let's finish. Let's pray together. God, we do end by magnifying Your name and praising You for who You are, for Your mighty deeds, and for the way You've answered our prayers. We praise You for Your great name. We are unworthy. Lord, help us today to desire to be more holy. And we ask You now to bless the preaching. We ask You to speak to people's hearts, to draw us all close to You. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're dismissed till the service.